Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. We exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name, amen, amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? If you brought your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Jude, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 9 through 13. 9 through 13. So I need your attention right up here on the screen. Praise God. Praise God. And I've entitled this evening's message, The Rebellion of Cain, Balaam, and Korah. You see, my friends, in the book of Jude, Jude mentions various types of judgment that will come upon this earth. But he also gives us a reminder, and he wants us to look back, to look ahead, that we would look back at the past, especially of these characters that we're about to read in our study tonight. And one of the things that becomes, I would say, an enemy to God is a heart of rebellion, especially when God has done something miraculous in the midst of his people. Back then, Cain, he murdered his brother Abel, and then Balaam cursed for monetary gain. He cursed the nation of Israel, and Korah is the one that sided against Moses, and Moses had to come and bring the law. And the Bible tells us that the earth opened up, and many that followed Korah fell into their death. And so these are reminders. These are true stories that we need to take heed, especially in the time that we live in. We live in some radical times, my friends. We live in a culture that is an enemy to God. It's an enemy to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I, we need to be about our Father's business. You see, my friends, the clouds right behind me. The Bible says that Jesus will come in the clouds. And how many of you at home want to be part of the first resurrection? Oh, that's right. I want to hear the shofar's blast. It's possible that this Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, we could all be going home. We don't know what festival or what year, but we do know the festival that will take place when the angels come and blow the shofar. The Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we that are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up to be with the Lord in the air. So I'm excited about this evening's message. I hope you'll enjoy the expository teaching. It's book by book, chapter by chapter, line by line, precept upon precept. And that's how we do it here on Wednesday nights. So let's go to Jude 9 through 13 and let's read the scriptures. Praise God. Here we go. In verse 9, yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Verse 10, but these speak of evil, of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beast. In these things they corrupt themselves. Verse 11, woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the air of Balaam for profit, and perish in the rebellion of Korah. Those are the three characters. These are spots in your love feast, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Look at this in verse 13. Raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Wow. Wow, my friends. Before we get to verse 9 and start expounding these scriptures, the reason why, as I mentioned, that God mentions these three incidences in the past is because they were all pivotal points in history. And saints of God, I'm here to let you know that right now is a pivotal point in our history. Our nation needs to turn back to the living God. Our nation has gone astray. Our nation needs to get back to the Word of God and repent of the wicked things that have happened in this nation. You and I are called to be lights in this darkened world. And you just read that there is a day that judgment will come and many will perish no differently, like the three characters or the three incidents we just read. And we're going to expound on those right now. So, my friends, I need us to take heed, because God has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. God has called you for such a time as this to be a light to the nations, to be a light to your family, to be a light to your neighbors, to be a light those on the job, to be a light to those in school. Oh, yes, God wants to use you in a mighty way, but the way to be used by God is to yield unto Him, to die to self, and to press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. You see, my friends, God has done a wonderful work in your life. He has called us. He has saved us. He has delivered us. He has sanctified us. He has justified us. And now He will glorify us at the very end with a brand new body. Saints of God, it's time to wake up from our sleep and slumber. This is the time to cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, "Oh God, save my husband, save my wife, save my children, save my family, save my co-workers." It's time to cry out and to intercede. One of the things that's lacking now in our nation is intercessory prayer. We need to be about our Father's business. We need to cry aloud, my friends. And so let's break down these scriptures and let's have the Holy Spirit take us where He needs to take us. Amen. And so, starting with verse 9, look at this. "Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, 'The Lord rebuke you.'" Wow. Wow, my friends, that's something else, isn't it? Woo, "the Lord rebuke you." Saints, Michael is one of the mightiest of the angels, sometimes called an archangel, reflecting the ranking of the angels that was part of the Jewish tradition. And in the book of Daniel, Michael is also referred to as a mighty angel. Oh, yes, he is. Let's look at this for a moment. Let's go to the book of Daniel. Daniel 10:13. "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princesses, came to help me. For I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia." This is Daniel, who was an intercessory prayer warrior, but he was left alone, and so there were no other prayer warriors with him calling down blessings and calling down things that need God's attention. And so when he was by himself praying, who came to stop and hinder those prayers? It was who? It was Satan himself. My friends, I'm here to let you know, we need to come together as the church, and we need to cry aloud. We need to fast and pray. We need to seek His face. We need to turn from our wicked ways and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen for such a time as this? We need to be about our Father's business. I hope you're catching this right now. And please, don't turn me off right now. You need to hear this. You need to hear what God is saying right now in the day and the time that we live in. Let's look at another scripture right here. Look at this. In Daniel 10:21. "But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against these except Michael, your prince." Praise God. And look what it says in Daniel 12:1. "And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered everyone who is found written in the book. Did you catch that, saints? There's going to be a time of trouble, a time of testing. Saints, that was referring to the tribulation. And many scholars feel that this Rosh Hashanah, this Feast of Trumpets, which is a brand new Shemitah cycle, a brand new 7 years, that the tribulation may begin. Now, I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying this is a time to watch. Look what's happening in the world right now. Look at all the nations that are raging right now. Look what's taking place with Russia. They're getting squeezed out economically. And let me just say this. If their nation goes into starvation, they got more nuclear weapons than anyone in the world. My friends, there could be a tribulation like no other. This is why we need to fast and pray and seek God's face. Can I get amen? Well, saints of God, the incident of Moses is not recorded in Scripture. The Bible merely states that Moses died and no one knows where his grave is. God did not want anyone to know where his bones would be. That's right. Why? Because Satan wanted those bones to hide them forever so that there would be no proof of his existence. Oh, yes, saints of God. That's right. You see, let me show you this in Deuteronomy right here. Look at this. So Moses, a servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows his grave till this day. Did you catch that, saints? No one knows. No one knows. But God does. And God wanted to keep his bones hidden. Why? Because all this will be discovered one day, and God will allow it. And we will know for a certain, especially the unbelieving world will know that the Bible is true. Everything from Genesis to Revelation is true. And so, saints, the background for this dispute over Moses' body can be found in the ancient book titled The Assumption of Moses. The story obviously known to the early believers. And it explains that Michael had been sent to bury Moses' body. Yes. And according to the Assumption of Moses, when Michael prepared to do his task, he began arguing with Satan about Moses' body. Wow. Oh, yes. You see, my friends, you got to know, Satan is a fallen angel. He's real, not symbolic, and is constantly fighting against those who follow and obey God. How many of you right now know that there are times where old Slewfoot will come and harass you? Oh, yes. He'll send his dominions. He's relentless. This is why we need to be girded up. We need the full armor of God. We need the helmet of salvation. We need the breastplate of righteousness. We need the shield of faith. We need the sword of the Spirit. That's right. We need our belt girded up in truth. And we need our feet shod prepared for the gospel of peace. If we leave our homes every day with the full armor of God, the moment we wake up, I'm telling you, Satan will not be able to penetrate the armor of God. So, saints, the story explains that Satan said Moses' body rightfully belonged to him. Why? Because Moses had committed murder. You see, remember, we read last Sunday that Moses committed the murder. So, Satan was trying to manipulate and grab that bones of his. Because he goes, hey, he committed murder. Why? Because remember, Jesus said that Satan is a liar and the father of lies, and he was a murderer from the beginning. So all those who basically perish as an ungodly, degenerated, belong to Satan, and he was claiming them. And so while Michael had every reason to expose Satan's lies, what Michael did, though, he did not accuse Satan of blasphemy, because Satan had a right. He did. Let's look at this right here, found in Exodus. So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. We read that last week. We read that last Sunday, didn't we? Oh, yes. You see, my friends, Michael, instead of using his own authority, left the matter in his master's hands, simply saying, "The Lord rebuke you." Listen, sometimes you just have to say, "The Lord rebuke you." You're not there to argue. You're not there to fight. Just rebuke the devil and let him run. God will deal with him. Can I get an amen? He did not rely on his own power and authority. Praise God. Praise God. He just said, "The Lord rebuke you." That's an illustration for you and I. You see, saints, Jude wanted the believers to understand that even if the mightiest angels are careful about how they address other powers, praise God, even the evil ones, how much more should mere people watch their words when speaking of celestial powers, good or evil, or even just speaking against any other people? We have to guard our tongue. Be careful. You see, my friends, if even a powerful angel of God did not dare to speak a judgment on God's behalf, then neither should the false teachers claim to speak for God when they knew nothing about him. Oh, that's right. That's right. So now, let's move on to verse 10 in Jude. "But these speak evil of whatever they do not know. And whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves." And God was referring to in this passage was these false teachers. You see, my friends, in contrast to Michael's refusal to slander even Satan himself, the false teacher scoffed at the celestial power and mocked and cursed the things they do not understand. And many of these false teachers claim to possess a superior secret knowledge that gave them authority. Watch out for these false prophets today. "Oh, thus saith the Lord God Almighty," thinking they got revelation from God, and yet it came from their own stinking thinking. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Because there's people that are involved in witchcraft and satanic kind of worship. And guess what? The devil will give them a word too. Be careful. Always line it up with Scripture. Does it line up with the Word of God? Can I get confirmation with two or three other witnesses? Can I get amen? Just don't take something and run with it. Be studious. Be diligent. Can I get an amen? You see, my friends, they consider themselves, these false teachers, to be the only ones to truly understand. They understand God. Listen, I preached a message last week. God's ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. We can't fully comprehend what God is doing in our life other than walk in faith and trust Him and love Him with our whole heart, soul, and mind. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. But yet, by their slander, they reveal not superior knowledge, but profound ignorance. Oh, that's right, saints of God. In fact, saints of God, for all their pride, they were no better than the animals. Oh, that's right. Why? Because they could really do no more than whatever their instincts tell them. And that is how to fulfill their sexual desires. They were very prominent back then in that area. And it's no different. It's no different than today. Listen, when I was a kid growing up, in my teens, we didn't have those convenient things that we can find now on our cell phone. And so I remember there was a theater on the National Boulevard, corner of 8th and National, where all the military would go in, and it would be those X-rated movies. And they had to physically go in. So if anyone saw someone go in there, shame on them, right? Well, now, the devil made it so convenient. People can go into their own room and put on these images and fantasize. And yet, it's very, very dark and very sinful. Oh, that's right. It was no different than these teachers back then, slandering the Word of God and trying to corrupt the things that God had already instituted within them. And so while claiming superior knowledge and status, these false teachers had the only most basic knowledge how to fulfill their lust. And they had no understanding beyond that of animals. Their status was not above the rest of humanity, saints of God, but was in reality below it. That's right. You see, my friends, their refusal to heed God's voice left them enslaved to sin and their sinful passions. And the only things these men truly understood were the passions and lusts that enslaved them. And even though they claimed to be able to indulge themselves without retribution, saints of God, eventually they would bring about their own destruction. Wow, my friends. So let's go to the next verse here, found in Jude, and it's verse 11. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the air of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. This is where I got my topic for tonight's message, because in the book of Jude mentions this right here. You see, saints, Jude reminded his readers of three classic examples of men who had lived as they pleased and had been punished for doing so. And these stories, saints of God, illustrate attitudes that are typical of false teachers, because the false teachers would demonstrate pride, selfishness, jealousy, greed, lust for power, and disregard of God's will. Oh, that's right, saints of God. And so, let's look at this for number one. Cain murdered his brother out of vengeful jealousy. Did you catch that? Cain murdered his brother out of vengeful jealousy. Let's look at Genesis 4 and 8. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and what? Killed him. So that's the first account of murder. And saints, these are various interpretations of Cain's example that he linked his brother. Jude may have been referring to Cain's desire to devise another way of worship rather than the way God intended, and to Cain's intense envy of his brother, or to Cain's selfish and evil heart that led him to murder. Look what we find in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament regarding Cain. Look at this. It says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, and through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, being dead, still speaks. Wow. Did you catch that, my friends? Did you catch that? You see, Abel's offering was the way God intended it, and Cain came in a whole different way and thinking that this is more convenient, but it did not please God. So when God accepted Abel's offering and rejected Cain's, jealousy rose up and he killed his brother. Wow. This is why it's mentioned here in the Word of God. Why? Because God despises jealousy. Because jealousy will turn to rage and envy and eventually murder. Oh, that's right. All right. Let's look at the next scripture right here. Look at this, found in 1 John 3:12. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Did you catch that, saints of God? You see, this is why. Keep your mouth off those ungodly people around your life, even family members. Just pray that God would one day save them. But don't be like them. Why? We just read. Those people that slander, they conceive evil in their heart, and then they lash out and do this type of wickedness, they will be brought down into hell. And you and I need to just keep our mouths shut and pray for them. But God's perfect will be done. This is mentioned for our understanding, to not go there. We don't need to go and be like them. We have a new nature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We're a new creature in Christ. Praise God. And God should have preeminence. He should be allowed to reign and rule in our body and to bridle this right here, this unruly member. Out of all the members in our body, the most unruly one is our tongue. And so, saints, we need to be careful. Can I get amen? And so, saints, just as Cain murdered his brother, or the false teachers murder people's souls no differently. And just as Cain did not care about his brother, murdering him out of envy, so the false teachers did not care about their followers, willingly leading them along the pathway to destruction. Oh, that's right. And so like Cain, the false teachers were defying God's authority and acting out of sinful passion. Wow. Wow, my friends. Let's look at number two. Look at this. Balaam prophesied out of greed, not out of obedience to God's command. You see, he was asked to prophesy against Israel, but God got in the way. Oh, that's right. Let's look at this in 2 Peter 2. Look at this. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey, look at this, a dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. Wow, wow, that is something else, saints of God, huh? You see, the false teachers were following in the steps of Balaam, a man who had led many astray. A pagan king had hired Balaam, a prophet, to curse Israel. And it didn't work. It didn't work. And so let me just say this. When people slander you, when people falsely accuse you, when people come against who you are in Christ, don't be like them. Don't come against them. Say, Lord, put a shield and buckler around my heart. Give me a peace that surpasses all understanding. Allow me to go through this, hallelujah, without saying a word, and that you would be glorified and magnified and high and lifted up, because you will be the one to deliver us. Can I get an amen? You see, saints, at first Balaam obeyed God. Eventually, however, his evil motives and desire for money won out. And like Balaam, the false teachers were not interested in serving God. And they will do anything for money, using religion only for financial gain and personal advancement. Let's look at Korah, number three. Look at this. Korah rebelled against God's divinely appointed leaders, wanting the power, what? For himself. Wow. Wow. He led many astray, saints of God. Let's look at this. We find this in Numbers. Numbers 16, 31 through 35. Look at this. And it reads, now it came to pass, as he finished speaking all these words, that the ground split apart under them, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, with their households and all the men with Korah, with all their goods. So they and all those with them went down alive into the pit. The earth closed over them, and they perished. Look at that. They perished from among the congregation. Look at this. Then all of Israel who were around them fled at their cry, for they said, lest the earth swallow us also. And a fire came out from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering incense. Wow. Woo, wow, my friends. You see, look at the three stories. We had Cain, rose up in envy and jealousy, killed his brother. Then we had Balaam, who was a prophet of God, took a bribe to curse against Israel, and it backfired. And now we see Korah. This is when Moses went up to bring down the Ten Commandments. And Korah gathered so many to rebel because Moses took a long time to come back. And they were partying and they were doing so many wicked things. And when Moses finally came, those, he said, that are on the Lord's side, step over here. And so it was kind of like split in half. And those that were on the side of Korah, which was led by the devil, the ground opened up and they fell in, and then the ground ate them up. Wow. Wow. Saints, By leading a revolt against God's divinely appointed leaders, Korah was actually revolting against God. The punishment was literally earth-shaking when the earth split apart and swallowed those who rebelled with their household and possessions. Wow. And so, my friends, just like Korah, the false teachers had revolted against the divinely anointed and appointed leadership of the apostles and church leaders, setting themselves up in opposition. And through these Old Testament pictures, saints of God, Jude painted these false teachers. They were without love like Cain, greedy for money like Balaam, and insubordinate to God's appointed authorities like Korah. God's punishment on them is certain, without a shadow of a doubt. Wow, wow, my friends. So let's move on. Let's move on to verse 12 and 13, our final verses for this evening. Look at this. These are spots in your love feast while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves in verse 13 of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars from whom, look at this, for whom is reserved for the blackness of darkness forever. Wow. Wow, that's a serious indictment from the Word of God, my friends. That's right. That's right. Saints, we need to take heed. We need to take heed in the time that we live in. That's right. You see, when the Lord's Supper was celebrated in the early church, believers would eat a full meal before sharing the bread and wine of the communion. The meal was called a fellowship meal or a love feast. It was designed to be a sacred time of fellowship to prepare one's heart for the Lord's Supper. However, the false teachers were joining these meals and ruining the Christians' gatherings. How? By their very presence. The false teachers were like dangerous reefs along a shoreline, ready to shipwreck the believers. Oh yes, they were strategically placed in the fellowship of the believers by Satan. Hey, it's no different in the churches that we live in today. Oh, that's right. Oh yes, workers, satanic workers, will come into a church and try to bring that church down and try to separate the sheep from the will of God. Oh, that's right. You see, my friends, Jude, he spared no words in describing the danger of these false teachers' involvement with the believers. In the worst sort of hypocrisy, saints of God, these intruders who had stolen in among the believers were participating in the love feast while at the same time living and speaking in opposition to Christ. My friends, they were shameless in their selfishness. They cared for nothing for the believers, and they cared nothing for their celebration or the God who they worship. The believers worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob back then, and now in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that's right. And instead of looking after others' needs, the false teachers' only concern was their own needs. In four vivid word pictures taken from nature, Jude further described the false teachers, saints of God. Oh, that's right. You know why? Because first, they are like clouds blowing over dry land without giving rain. All show but no substance. That's right. Like waterless clouds we just read in Scripture. They were promising rain, but floated on by, producing nothing. While they might claim superior knowledge, the false teachers had nothing of substance to assure anyone's spiritual thirst at that time. And it's no different than today. It's the same. Watch out on these prophets that you go visit. Thus saith the Lord God. I'm telling you, it better line up with the Word of God. That's right. Because as soon as it doesn't come to pass, You got to put them in your mind and write it down that that is a false prophet. Jesus said in the last days, there'll be many false prophets. And so second, saints of God, the false teachers are like trees without fruit at harvest time. A fruitless tree in autumn may refer to a sterile tree, which was as good as dead. Why? Because it produced no fruit. A tree pulled out of the roots was completely dead. Jude compared to the false teachers to trees promising fruit, but giving none. That's like planting an avocado tree. And the nursery said, oh, it's going to be fruit bearing. And it's to its adult already height. And for 2 years, there's no fruit. That's a dead tree. Uproot that thing. It's not producing any fruit. Well, they were once dead. Why? Because they had never been, what? They'd never taken root. And they were never believers, according to Jude, these false teachers. And they had never borne spiritual fruit in their lives. They were doubly dead because just as fruitless trees are uprooted and burned, so the false teachers, they, saints of God, would face eternal punishment. Wow. Thirdly, the false teachers are like wild waves of the sea, churning up the dirty foam of their shameful deeds, like the wild waves that make lots of noise as they relentlessly thrash about. You see, the false teachers relentlessly and loudly were spewing their teaching contrary to the word of God. And Jude used the image recorded in the book of Isaiah. Let's look at this for a moment. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. You see, my friends, as debris and filth caught in the foam are cast up on the shore, so the false teacher's shameful actions would be cast for all to see. And fourthly, my friends, the false teachers were wandering stars heading for everlasting gloom and darkness. For centuries, the fixed stars in the heavens have guided seafarers and navigators and travels around the earth. But wandering or shooting stars offer no guidance and offer no light. Oh, that's right. That's right. And they appear bright for a few moments, but shoot across the sky and disappear into darkness. The false teachers were as useless as wandering stars because they offered no direction and they offered no light. Oh, that's right. And their teachings might seem bright for a while, but these teachers would find that their eternal judgment and punishment are certain, that they have reservations that cannot be changed or canceled. Wow. My friends, we're living in a time, I truly believe, of wickedness. And we need to be praying. We need to be praying, saints of God, that the enemies that hate us around the world don't come and try to destroy us. Saints of God, if this September a brand new Shemitah cycle, and it's not only that, it's a Jubilee year, and the three final feasts, trumpets, Yom Kippur, and tabernacles are all in the month of Tishri. My friends, I'm here to let you know that this is a rapture watch. Don't be tied up to this world. Don't let your affections bind you to this world like Lot's wife. Remember last week, she turned because her passion and her heart was still in Sodom. My friends, the Bible says we are like pilgrims passing through. I don't care what God has done in your life as far as prosperity, as far as building wealth here, it's all going to burn in the fire. Our hearts and our motives should be about intercessory prayer, praying for those who be saved, and looking unto Jesus the author and the finisher of our faith. Because when we see all these signs that Jesus spoke about in Matthew 24, we know that the footsteps of the Messiah is around the corner. Oh, that's right. And saints, soon and very soon, Jesus is about to appear. And we're almost out of here. How many believe that? Oh, that's right. That's right. I got scripture to prove it. Look at this. Right here. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Look at this in verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven, and with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Look at this. Then we who are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Wow, my friends. This is about ready to take place. And it could be this September on Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. Man, I'm telling you, everything's lining up. But here's the thing. We need to be ready every day. We need to be ready. We need to be about our Father's business. We need to be diligent in what we say and how we conduct ourselves, how we entreat one another. This is a time now that we need to be serious about our walk with Christ. Because Jesus is coming for those who are looking for his return. And there are churches across the land, around the world, that are asleep at the wheel. They're asleep. And we need to cry out, say, God, wake them up. You cannot wake up a person. God has to wake them up. But God has woken you and I up. And the Lord is going to show up strong and mighty. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so I need you to know this, my friends. If you're watching for the very first time and you've never given your heart to God, the next greatest event is what we just read. The rapture of the church. That's right. That's right. It's where Jesus is coming back for his bride. We're the born again church. We've repented of our sins. We're washed in the blood of the Lamb. We're filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. And now we are heaven bound and now a hell to shun. That's right. He has prepared us to meet him in the air. And so the next greatest event that this world is ever going to see, I believe right after this event takes place, the Antichrist will rise up. And that's the rapture of the church. Jesus is going to take his bride home, and we're going to celebrate the marriage supper of the Lamb with him. And we're going to witness the coronation of the King. We're going to be with him for a good 7 years while the tribulation is poured out on this planet. And then the Bible says we're coming back with him. That's right. To set up 1,000 years on this earth where there will not be any more wars. There will be no more wickedness, but Jesus will rule with righteousness, with justice, with an iron rod. And nothing will be able to shake his government. Praise God. How many can't wait for that event? Well, I got scripture to show you. Look at this. It's going to happen this fast. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. Look at this. For this corruptible, this body that we live in, must put on incorruption. That means a brand new body that will not die. And this mortal must put on immortality. In other words, we need to live forever now. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Wow. Wow. Saints, this is about ready to take place. Now, if you're watching for the very first time and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that what you're about to see will not happen to you. Let's look at this.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming." I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come...
Wow. That's the million-dollar question. Are you ready? Are you ready? My friends, this is how you get ready. I want you to read this scripture right here. Let's look at this. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38 through 39, the Apostle Peter preached his very first message on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out. And he came from the upper room all the way down to where the people were thinking they were drunk, but they weren't drunk. They were filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. And this is what Peter said. Then he said to them, "Repent." That means turn to God. "And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins." Remission means forgiveness. "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The gift is eternal life. "For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." Wow. That's it. That's what it's all about, saints of God. That's what it's all about. And I'm going to ask you, if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would bow your heart and your head with me and receive the Lord. That's right. It's never too late. I don't care what you've done. I don't care if you committed murder, whatever the case may be. God wants to forgive you and cleanse you. You may be watching in a prison cell room right now, and God can set you free inside of a prison cell, and you would be freer in your spirit and your soul than those who are walking around outside of your cell. Listen, God wants to do the miraculous in your life. And if that's you that's watching right now, I want you to bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory. Someone just got saved. Listen, someone just gave their heart to God. And so I'm excited. If that's you, listen, down below is our website. Why don't you log on? Reach out to us. Let us further pray with you. We want to give you a Bible and bless you. And we want to point you to a church that will teach the unadulterated Word of God. And so I also want to give a great big shout out to those who continually support our ministry. And down below is a way that you can. For donations are deeply appreciated. And so I got to wrap it up now. It's been a blessing coming into your living rooms or wherever you may be. One last reminder, this Friday at 11 o'clock at our Bonita facility, 5305 Sweetwater Road, will be the Celebration of Life service at 11 a.m. for our very beloved sister, Martha Cornell. And then this Sunday at 10 o'clock, our beautiful sister, Kedma Wentz, is coming all the way down from Riverside to be with the worship team. And we're going to have a time of worship and praise to glorify God. And so, my friends, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and myself and the Amazing Grace family, we just want to say we love you. We thank you for all that you do. And allow me to send out the benediction. And it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. My friends, we love you. God bless you. For those who could make it this Friday at 11 o'clock for the Celebration of Life service for Martha Cornell, we'll see you then. And if not, we'll see you Sunday morning at 10 a.m. God bless you now. Bye-bye.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.